Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Life's a little scary.
Life's a little scary sometimes.
Colby went on a date with a hot ass man last week. The one thing I very vividly remember wanting so bad was the ability to play Grand Theft Auto.
You would be dead.
Yeah.
You would be dead.
He was like at least 6'1".
They would woo.
They would woo.
We're live.
We're live.
We're rolling.
We are midday today. This is a time we haven't recorded in quite some time, I feel like.
I feel like never.
Like a Monday at 1 p.m.
There's just...
It's a lunch break podcast.
There's never been a Monday at 1 p.m. record.
I don't think so.
Podcast for lunch.
Yeah. Yum.
Eat this match made for lunch. Mmm.
I love it.
If match made was a food, what would it be? If it was a meal,
I was thinking like
if each of us was an ingredient in a meal that is match made, what would it be?
It'd be a strawberry shortcake.
See, I was thinking of a happy meal.
Okay. What would be in that? Like, who would be the cheeseburger? Who would be the Diet Coke? Who would be the fries?
I would be the toy.
Colby would be the apple slices.
Oh.
I used to love the apple slices. You know what I'm talking
about? That's so Almond Mom of Colby.
I know.
The little, like, plastic bag apple slices.
You know what I'm talking
not
about?
Being an Almond Mom this weekend. I'll tell you that.
I love apple slices, the ones that came in the little Happy Meals.
I never got those. Oh. I always got really freaked out by, like, pre-packaged cut fruit because it...
Yeah.
My mom told me that there was lemon juice or something on it to make it so they didn't turn brown. And then I thought that it would make it taste weird. So I don't think I've ever even had them.
My mom always put lemon juice on our apples, like for the school lunch.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, for that
reason. I wouldn't let my mom cut it.
You wouldn't let your mom cut the apple.
I've always had really weird food things.
Your food aversions? Like,
it's so strange.
Do your siblings have the same food aversions?
No, they think it's so weird.
I mean, it is. Like,
I know.
Adam, I think you'd be like a Big Mac.
I would definitely be a Big Mac.
You'd be a Big Mac with like extra meat.
100.
A McChicken. Okay,
but no cheese.
No dairy.
No dairy.
That also means we can't have the mac sauce. So I'm literally just some bread and some meat.
Yeah, that.
And some onions and lettuce and tomato.
That.
Only the essentials.
That's a lot of stuff. That gives you plenty of things.
I'll take it.
And then I don't know what I would be.
I'm curious as to why I'm a Big Mac to you. That's making me wonder if maybe you're trying to tell me something.
I feel like you would like to eat that.
I would certainly like to
eat it. I'm kind of basing it off of like what we would like.
I would definitely like that. I feel like you'd be the Diet Coke.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I feel like Colby would be the fries.
Colby could also be a Diet Coke.
The Diet Cokes that come with a Happy Meal are actually so cute.
The crispy. They're like so crispy.
They're so tiny.
So good. So maybe we could both be Diet Coke.
What's your number one Diet Coke? Your
what do you,
favorite Diet Coke in the world?
I like the ones that come in the glass bottles.
Okay, that was going to be my answer too.
But honestly, probably like number one though, if I mean, that's like my favorite presentation of a Diet Coke, but I feel like the Diet Cokes you get from McDonald's drive-through are just so much better than normal Diet Coke. I don't know what they do.
That's what I think I miss about like being hungover in a suburb.
Yeah.
Is like driving in the morning to a Dunkin' and then McDonald's.
Do you remember when we went to the cabin for New Year's Eve? And yes. This was like 2 years ago, and Adam and I, we were just get in the car and go to McDonald's like maybe four times a day.
We had to.
It was the only thing in town.
Wait, also, do you remember the last day? Like, you and I were like, we need to get the fuck out of here. And we had planned that the night before.
We packed the night before. We were fully had our like exit plan.
We cleaned the entire house because we were like, we can't leave with the house being a mess.
We woke up at 6 a.m. on New Year's Day and cleaned the house, packed the car. And we were like, okay, I guess we have to say bye to people, right? So we were like, hey, see you guys. We got to go.
We were literally sitting there until like the first person came up. And I think it was Brooke. And we were like, see you, Brooke. We got a blast.
We said bye to as many people as we could, but really we were just like, let's get the fuck out of here. It was like, it was ultimate scaries morning because it was a great trip, but it was just like, okay, New Year's Day is a different breed of scaries if you're hungover on New Year's Day.
I also think those types of trips where it's like a New Year's trip, like 3 nights is too long. Like you can go 2 nights and the last night has to be the New Year's Eve night.
Well, I think 3 nights is, I think that's with the caveat that with the detail that we were drinking heavily the whole time.
Yes.
If we were sober, maybe like 3 days would be good. 3 nights would be good. But we were like heavily drinking, like full on waking up, like slightly moderately hungover each morning. Like that adds up, you know?
It's just a long time to also be like in a cabin.
Yeah.
What was the girl's name who owned it? Glenda? No. No, it wasn't Glenda. That was a different cabin I attended.
We'd have to go back. Her picture was on the wall. There was this woman that like owned the compound that we were staying at. And there was 30 of us staying at this like compound in the woods.
It was pretty.
It was fun. I would so do that again. I loved the vibes of having a big group in that type of atmosphere. And we were like making drinks and dinner. And it was really snowed, cute.
And there was a hot tub. It was cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. But at the end of that, we were like, let's get out of here. Like, let's be the first ones up and out. Yeah, I don't
Katie
care.
And I were checked.
We I don't
were
care like, how early we have to wake up. I mean, you literally full on took an Ambien the night before and you were up.
I did. Because everybody was partying way too hard. And I was like,
nope. We were like, good night, everyone.
Nope. I was like, good night. Took a bite out of an Ambien and went to sleep.
But then we hit the McDonald's on the way out.
Also, I need to clarify the Ambien because people are going to be like, is Adam addicted to drugs? No, I've been prescribed Ambien since I was in sixth grade.
I feel like they know that. I feel like that's like
I hope so.
A known part of you.
Because Ambien's like, whenever I tell people that I'm prescribed Ambien to sleep, they're like, what the fuck kind of problems do you have?
Well, you were up.
Yeah, that just sounds like a crazy drug.
Yeah, like Ambien is a crazy sleeping drug. But like sixth grade is dramatic. I've been prescribed it since I was junior in college.
Okay.
So not middle school. I had to make it seem like I've been on this thing for forever to make it like justifiable. But then again, that was like 9 years ago, I guess, at this point. Yeah. So it's fine. But anyways, I certainly did take a bite out of an Ambien. That's like my party trick. Whenever we go on a trip and there are people partying and Adam is ready for bed, I'm like, nope, no, that house scared the shit out of me. Katie and I shared this king bed in, honestly, like it was a pretty big bed, but remember there were nails sticking out everywhere.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I remember I like cut my hand on the bed because there were just
raw nails. It was rustic.
It was like a danger zone.
It was a little antique, but no, we had a great time. We had to come up with something cute to do this year for New Year's Eve.
I know last year we did your apartment.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Which was fun, but
Colby and I shoveled grapes into our mouths under the table.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not like feeling the fruits of my labor.
No, Colby, I feel like you are.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to like debrief. Colby went on a date with a hot ass man last week. She's got a new one.
Yeah.
In the mix.
Yeah, I'd say the grapes today are working.
Yeah, the grapes are really working for you. The grapes are not working. They're actually working in reverse for me.
Well, I wouldn't say that either.
It's to my
You're
my own
going
doing.
To heaven this week, so.
That is true. All gays go to heaven. I am going to heaven. We leave tomorrow morning. I'm so excited.
And by we, it's like you and we're fully not involved in this. And I'm like, wish that we were going.
I wish you guys were going so bad. I know we talked about it on the podcast. I was trying to get the girls to go, but
I know
the stars didn't align.
It just wasn't in the cards. I just got back from my trip yesterday and I am ill, as you can hear.
You are.
You could probably hear, you know, I always look back at like some episodes of the podcast and I'm like, wow, I was really stuffy in that episode. You can really like sound, you can really hear it. You can really sound
the
it.
Congestion.
You can really hear it. Yeah. This begins my period of time where I'm just stuffy for the rest of winter.
And that's okay.
Like fall, winter, I always forget how, like, I just get sick. I don't know. I'm like allergic to whatever happens to the air.
Okay. Also, I've been like, my TikTok feed has been overrun by people who are getting this deathly contagious sickness.
Virus.
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard about this virus.
I don't think I have that.
Well, it's not deathly, but yeah, people are like, I don't have COVID, but I'm like down very bad.
It's like it's not a pneumonia. Would be fat too. I'm like about to like speak horrible things. And no, it's like the flu.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Flu-like symptoms.
It's like a flu
derivative.
Not
the flu, not COVID.
It's actually this TikToker that I found earlier is the first one that I saw. And then all of a sudden I saw all these people in New York who are getting this sickness. But
mystery illness. Well, yeah. I feel like there's like a New York plague that goes around every year.
Oh, 100%. Around this time.
And like everyone gets it because everyone's like sharing drinks and like just breathing close together because in this city, everything is, we are always compacted.
Yeah.
I feel like the second you step into a crowded subway car, you're bound to get something.
Mm-hmm. I'm fully expecting to be ill pretty soon because my niece all weekend, she's in a phase where there's not a surface that she doesn't want to touch. So as we were walking around, it was like hand gliding along every railing along the sides of buildings, like just touching everything.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to say it, but last night when you sent Katie and I that video, I was like, she is literally so adorable, but her eating that popcorn and then licking her fingers, I was like, I just know she touched the seats in that Wicked play.
Oh yeah.
I was freaking out internally. I was like, I'm not gonna say anything, but this is really freaking me out.
Well, we had a really sad change of plans. We couldn't go to Wicked.
Tell the people what happened.
I'm going to slander Game Time, but it's like not really their fault. It just was really frustrating on my behalf. But the one good thing was I got refunded for my tickets, which doesn't usually happen, I guess. But I bought tickets to Wicked on Game Time, and they were supposed to land in my account by the day before. So we were going to the show on Sunday, or originally we were going to go to the show Saturday. And so I was supposed to have the tickets by Friday, and I didn't receive them. And they told me that there was an issue with the seller. And so they were offering to give me a refund, or I could get refunded to my Game Time account with a percent bonus or something. And then all of the tickets for Wicked were like $900+.
So what happened? The guy was like a fraud? The seller?
I don't know if it was fraud or they just like decided they didn't want to sell them anymore and didn't take it down. But I obviously was like, these are fake tickets, whatever. And then I'm just like trying to figure out a pivot because I had gotten my niece like all excited about Wicked and how we could then go see the movie over Thanksgiving and whatever. No. And then I somehow pivoted alongside my sister because we were at coffee yesterday and I was like, well, while I have you here, and she had like run away to go do something, it's like, I'm not getting the Wicked tickets and I don't know what to do because now they're all really expensive. And so then we ended up going to The Lion King, and I had never seen that before. And the production value of that show is actually 10 out of 10. I have no idea how Northwest was Simba for one night. It's an insane role.
Yeah.
It wasn't only, I just can't wait to be king.
There's a lot going on in that
role. There's a lot going on in that role.
Yeah.
And also Simba in Broadway, or on Broadway here, was not wearing a lion outfit like she was wearing.
To be fair, I didn't even see any of that stuff. Northwest was, what was she doing?
I had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm a little behind here.
Oh,
I was just nodding.
She played Northwest in I think it was a Broadway production. Wait,
Northwest played who?
Simba.
She played Simba.
Yeah.
On Broadway for one night?
For one night at the Apollo Theater, I think it was.
Interesting.
And there were so many videos of her singing, I Just Can't Wait to Be King. And so when they were singing that song, all that I could think of was her voice in my head because I watched the videos so many times, I feel like, on my TikTok.
Oh, at the Hollywood Bowl.
Hollywood Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I had never seen her formulate in an entire sentence until last night where this video was going around of the interview that she did.
Yeah. For Interview Magazine.
Yeah.
Well, it was during the during a concert she did this.
Oh.
Like a Kanye concert?
Yeah. No. During the Lion King's 30th anniversary concert in LA.
Oh, so maybe.
So it wasn't like the full production, because I don't know how, like I haven't seen the Lion King like fully, like actually in person. I've seen like clips of it and such. And I don't know how, you know, a Nepo baby could just hop in there for one night. Like, I don't know.
Amazing. And wow. The way I like almost started crying at one point because I was like, how are these people doing this? It was insane.
Yeah.
They have so many different types of animals that they actually make look like they're walking on four legs.
Yeah.
Were they Marley puppets? Is the one that pointed out to me. No, she was like, there's somebody really in there. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. You can tell. But they had giraffes. And those were my favorites.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't really do anything. I just love giraffes.
Wait, so how long is the show?
It was longer than I thought that it was going to be.
Because, like, my normal
issue...
It was,
like, an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, that's actually not that bad. I was going to say my normal issue with Broadway plays is, like, how long they are. And I have kind of a hard time sitting through the whole thing.
I love it. That brought back my wish that I was a theater kid.
I also have a problem with the length of things.
Yeah, like, the last one I saw was Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And
well, not a musical, I think, is the problem. Musicals are so fun.
Oh, okay. I don't even remember because I saw it so long ago, but I think that one was like 3.5 hours.
I don't think I could sit through a play, but musicals are so fun.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I went to the opera,
yeah,
and I watched Romeo and Juliet in French, it was a hard watch.
Like, I would never be able to do that.
It was beautiful. And I think most people know the plot of Romeo and Juliet, so it wasn't super hard to follow. It was more so, I guess, the fact that it was in French.
The whole thing is in French.
Yes. And we had like little subtitles like on the, like it would pop up on the chair in front of you, like on the back of the chair. But it was kind of hard to be like reading the subtitles and watching. I think if it wasn't in French, I might have had a better time with it. But yeah, it was called Romeo et Juliet. Like it wasn't even Aunt Juliet.
Yeah, I would not be able to sit through that.
But I think it all depends on the show. Because yeah. I went to Aladdin. And I thought that was the perfect length. Like, I walked out of there and I was like, wow, that was incredible.
Yeah. That's one that wanted to see.
That and Book of Mormon. I loved Book of Mormon.
I still really want to see Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, yes. I could see that too.
I've heard that review.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I want to see that one too.
I really love musicals, but I don't like plays. I think plays are boring.
Maybe that was my issue with
I just Harry love a song and dance.
You love a
musical
number? Performance.
Yeah, like Hairspray.
Oh.
I wish Hairspray would come back on Broadway. I saw that on Broadway when I was in like the fifth grade.
Well, I'm sure back to the whole ticket snafu.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Lion King is the perfect play for a girl Marley's age.
Yeah, it was very family friendly.
Like, I feel like there's nothing scary, really. Like, yeah. I guess there's like sad parts, but like nothing like scary. I feel like when I saw Wicked, I was a little afraid.
Yeah.
Like, there were parts where I was a little scared. I saw it when I was a teenager. Like, not even a teenager. I think, like, I was, like, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And I was a little scared.
Yeah. The hyenas, honestly, she was a little scared during that.
Yeah.
So that kind of made me feel better. Because there are parts yeah. during Wicked with the flying monkeys and stuff
those
like
things,
that that
yeah.
are scary.
That is what freaked me yeah. out. I really did not like the flying monkeys.
But
I
hated that in The Wizard of Oz, too.
Yeah. But that's life, but, you know? Life's
yeah.
a little...
Life's a little scary.
Life's a little scary sometimes.
Yeah. And it's spooky season anyway. Yeah.
But so. We pivoted to make it sound like it was earlier in the day, so it was coming up sooner, and then she was really excited. She was like, okay, then we'll go to The Lion King because it's sooner. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, you made it seem like she had an option?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, she can pick. That. I think that's like the oldest trick in the book. It's like... they can feel like they're choosing something. That's literally what happened to me when I was in, I think I was like 11 or 12 when this happened. We were moving houses and my parents, to make it up to us, because of course, you know, when you're moving houses and moving neighborhoods and schools, it's like very sad for a kid to like lose all your friends, right? So my parents are like, okay, we're going to move. You get a choice between two things, like as like a little gift that we're going to give you if you're okay with the move, which of course, like, it doesn't matter if I'm okay with the move, we're moving. But they were like, you get one of two things you can choose, either a TV in your room in the next house, like you get your own personal TV, or a dog. What did I choose?
The TV.
My dad loves to tell this story.
Yeah.
They were never gonna get me a dog, but they knew how much I wanted a TV. Like, they have been hearing me go on and on about how some of my friends had a TV in their room and I was obsessed with that. And so they knew, because if like around the bend later on, I was like, oh, why don't we have a dog? I want a dog. My parents did not want a dog. They're like, let's give her like an attractive distractor, like something very exciting that she wants. So then whenever she comes back to us and is like, I want a dog. My dad always would say, well, remember that time you chose the TV. So that is why the Bilotti family has never had a dog, because I chose the TV. My sister is pissed about it to this day. But it's not even, the thing is, it wasn't even an actual choice. Like, my parents were never going to get us a dog.
Right.
That's so funny that your parents are just not dog people. Like, I just don't even picture your family having a dog.
No, we're not animal. Well, like,
But I feel like your dad would kind of love a dog.
No, and the thing is, they love our neighbor's dogs.
Yeah.
Like, they're babysitting. They are, like, the babysitter for Strawberry, our neighbor's dog. They love our neighbor's pit bull. But I think for them, it's just, like, they travel a lot, and they want to go and sit at the Point, which is like our local bar, and get beers and not worry about letting the dog out.
Right.
I think it's truly just the responsibility of it. They're like, we already have two kids. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And their thing was always like, well, there's plenty of dogs across the street. Like our neighbor's house, every single neighbor had a dog, like pretty much in my neighborhood. So they're like, well, if we want to borrow a dog, just go across the street. Like that was their rationale. We don't need our own dog.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's easy to negotiate with a child if you know them.
Yes.
If you know what we'll get them going.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Marley wants to go to see something now.
Right.
So,
yeah.
She doesn't want to wait 4 hours.
So cute.
I'm trying to think of what my negotiation was growing up. Like, I don't really think I negotiated for anything.
I definitely didn't.
You negotiated?
I was just told what I had to do and I would do it.
I mean, I'd like to talk to your mom, because I bet there were instances where she was like, okay, how do we get Adam to do this thing? Like, parents are like, you have to be like,
they understand your psyche.
Yeah. So you probably, here's the thing. You probably didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah.
That someone was like trying to get something out of you.
I can't even remember. Like, the one thing I very vividly remember wanting so bad was the ability to play Grand Theft Auto. And my parents would not let me play Grand Theft Auto.
Why?
You know the game Grand Theft Auto,
right? Of course, with the cars. You steal the car and you have to, like, go.
And there's guns and violence, I think.
Exactly. And so my parents were like, you're not playing Grand Theft Auto. Like, there's guns and violence.
But
and
it's a boy thing. I feel like all the boys were playing Grand Theft Auto. I was like, literally
all the boys are playing Grand Theft Auto. Like, I can't be a cool boy unless I run people over with cars that I've stolen. Like, it's just not a thing. So they literally never let me play Grand Theft Auto until I went to college. Like, I swear to God, they, like, held firm on Grand Theft Auto.
Do you still play to this day?
I did play it in college.
Of course, because you couldn't play it in high school. Because
I couldn't play it in high school, so I was desperate.
Wow.
And I loved it. That was, like, how I took out my anger when I was, like,
people
really...
people who don't drink in high school then go crazy in college. You went crazy with the video games.
I went crazy in Grand Theft Auto. I used to steal cars. I'd run people over.
Your first sense of freedom.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is how I'm getting out my anger with school. Is via video games.
Wow, Grand Theft Auto. Didn't realize that was your
vice.
Your vice, yeah. My
I'm
God.
A simple man.
I liked Zoo Tycoon.
I loved Zoo. So and I used Diner to play Dash. Like all those.
Diner
I
Dash?
Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, great game.
Wait, what is that?
It's like a fox.
Yeah, it's a fox and he steals things.
Yeah. Oh, I've never heard of that.
And SX Tricky. I loved that.
I don't know.
And
that
like
one.
All of the backyard sports we used to play. Backyard baseball was the best.
I've heard of those.
I used to be addicted to The Sims. Like,
I was not allowed
addicted.
To play Sims.
I wasn't allowed to play Sims either.
Really?
Because, like, The Sims could have sex, and, like, I wasn't...
Yeah, your Sims could be naked.
Yeah.
They woo. They would woo. Yep. W-O-O. They wouldn't have sex.
Well, you know what I mean.
Like, I don't even know what that is, because I literally never played Sims.
I'm pretty sure the action of, like, making a baby in The Sims, it was called wooing.
Huh.
They would woo.
They would woo.
It's kind of cute.
Well, I wasn't allowed to even go there, but I do think that Diner Dash... really, it was the first moment. Have you ever played this game?
Yes.
It's like you have to like seat your customers and then like you have to get them their food on time.
And they would get so frustrated so quickly.
And they would just walk out.
Yeah.
Like Diner Dash is the reason why like I am critical of restaurant experiences. Like if I am at a restaurant and, you know, they haven't even brought us like a menu. Like we sit down and I've been there for 15 minutes and no one's come over to like greet me or anything.
You're like, I'm about to dash.
If this was... Diner Dash, like, you'd be out. You would be dead.
Yeah.
You would be dead, and...
you'd be dining and dashing.
Like, that's why I believed, I'd be a great server, because I was really good at Diner Dash.
But I feel like none of our friends ever had server jobs.
I always wanted to work at a restaurant, too.
Wait, do we know any person who has had a server
job? I wanted to be a hostess,
job?
No, I feel like everyone either worked in retail or, like... Like, I worked at Rita's, so I was like... And you were...
I worked at Froyo.
Froyo, so, like... Second.
until they made me clean a bathroom, and then I had to leave.
So those were like behind a counter job, but it wasn't like service. I feel like I wouldn't, I mean, I would obviously be terrible at the service industry. Like, I feel like I come in like with the talking a big game from my Diner Dash experience, but like, I feel like it obviously takes a lot of work, but yeah, that game really like showed me a lot of things about myself. Also, like, I think it was the first time I was like really, truly anxious. like, oh my God.
Not Diner Dash introducing anxiety into your life.
No, literally. Like, because it's just, you have to balance all these things at once. You have to be like, and there's things that happen that are so out of your control in that game.
Wait, Katie, I feel like Diner Dash was like the worst game that you, given your personality, could have possibly played.
Yeah, but it was, you know,
like, things out of your control are like not good.
You know, when you like just want something that's bad, like you want to do something that's bad for you, like that's it.
That was my Diner Dash was your drug.
That was my vice.
That was Katie's vice.
When I wasn't drinking, like, because I obviously didn't really party in high school or anything, that Diner Dash was what I was up to. That's what like spiked my cortisol.
Was that's what got you going.
That is so funny. And with that,
anyway, welcome back to another episode of Match Made in Manhattan with Katie, Colby, and Adam.
Girls, how we doing?
Good. You're off to London tomorrow.
I'm so excited.
London boy.
I'm literally so pumped.
What is on your list of things that you want to do besides work, obviously?
So my list of things to do, so I want to go vintage shopping.
Okay.
It's very important to me. So I need to do some of that. I want to go to Harrods. Mm-hmm. Gotta go shopping at Harrods.
Of course.
I'm leaving plenty of room in my suitcase. So that I can do plenty of shopping. There's a couple restaurants that I want to go to in classic Adam fashion. I'm going to Gaia in Mayfair on Saturday.
Is this the one that the guy's paying for?
Yep.
That
Dubai guy
is paying the bill.
Dubai guy hooked me up with Gaia at Mayfair. And then, I mean, Wednesday and Thursday, like, I'm going to be working the entire day. But Thursday night is when we go to heaven. So then the gays and I are going to dinner at this place called Gloria. And then we're going out to heaven after. Although I did get some DMs. So once I said that, like, I was going to heaven, all of the gays who live in London,
they found
who
you.
Listen to the podcast, like, came to my DMs and they were like, no, like, you want to go here, and
they
here.
They came to the rescue.
Yeah, they came to the rescue. They're like, no, you want to make sure you go to these places.
So you're not going to heaven.
We are still going to heaven for sure, because, like, my gay friends from work are set on it. They're like, we're taking Adam to heaven for sure.
Okay.
But then I think, like, obviously I'll be there all weekend, so I think we have some other plans.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
Since you're going to be there over the weekend, make sure that it's open, but for vintage shopping, you should go to Portobello Market.
Oh, cute.
Yes.
Is that the one in, like, the big situation?
It's, like, a huge outdoor
retweet.
Market.
It's, like, an open-air situation. Okay. You should definitely go.
What kind of vintage?
And they have a lot of food.
Because, like, I'm, like, you know, I want, like, the designer vintage type situation.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So you don't want...
I don't want, like, a Goodwill jacket. I want, like, a... Dior jacket that nobody wants.
Yeah, I don't know about that for you.
Yeah, but they have still really cool stuff.
Yeah, it'd still be fun. It'd be good to get souvenirs for your family there.
Okay. And if you're going to do Notting Hill.
But for the vintage, I'm sure there's like stores like the ones we went to in Paris.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Kind of like the real of London.
Right. But like more boutique, right?
Yeah,
but like,
more boutique. Exactly.
Wait, that'll be
I feel
so
like you
cool.
can get like the better deals of those.
Oh my God. I can just see it now. You like buying a jacket or something and then having it forever and being like, that's, and your kids will be like, that's what dad got when he was in London.
I mean, when we went to Paris, I bought that vintage Mugler jacket.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nice. But then I regretted it immediately after. And I was like, why did I spend that? But I also haven't gotten the chance to wear it.
Wait, shut up. Stop talking right now. It's the best jacket ever.
What is it? Wait, I've never even seen it.
Because you got it.
It's because I got it in May.
It's a fall winter jacket. So of course you haven't had a chance to wear it so you regret it. You hush. That jacket looks amazing on you.
It's this Mugler jacket.
You're going to wear that all the time in the fall.
It's really nice. And it was like, it's a tailored jacket. You could tell it had been tailored and it fit perfectly to my body and it looked so good.
Like whoever had owned it before, either a woman or a man, was Adam's exact build.
The tailoring was like, it fit me like a
glove. We don't know who they were, but they were exactly Adam's build.
Yeah. And I put it on and everybody was like, what the fuck? Like, you need to get that. And like, I was like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. No, you're gonna wear that a lot when it gets colder. I feel like that's why you regret
it. What does it look like?
It's like a gray trench-esque jacket. It's really cute. And it's...
kind of looks blazery.
I think Mugler is how you pronounce it, right? Terry Mugler or something like that?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'll send you a picture of it. It's gorge.
Okay.
But anyways, I spent like a shit ton of money on it because Mugler is like really fucking expensive.
And it's vintage.
And immediately after, I was like, oof. But yeah, I can resell it for the same amount, so it's fine.
So there you
go. I did some digging.
And it's like, it brought you joy.
It did. In the moment. I love making purchases like that.
It's a memory.
It's a mem. So yeah, hopefully I'll find another find like that. in the good old London. But that's like pretty much all we have planned. And then Sunday I fly back kind of early. So it's like the only like real days I have to actually explore London are Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
Because like Wednesday, Thursday, I'll be working the entire day. Thursday night we'll go out. Friday I'll explore London. Saturday I'll explore London. And Sunday I'll be back to the city.
I can't wait to hear about your Delta One experience.
Me too.
I'm so excited.
You get to go to the Delta One Lounge, which they just... You're going to JFK, I assume. Yep. They just built it. And I went once and I'm like dying to go back. But I don't know when I'm going to buy a Delta One ticket.
Like a massage there.
No, they have a whole spa section. You can even just get like a hand massage.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, busy
you have
business
to go
person.
Hours in advance.
You can get like a full body massage or like just like, you I can know. Get like an arm or like back or like hand massage.
I'm so excited. But the thing is, my flight is at 8:20 a.m. tomorrow morning. I have a call at 7 a.m. So I need to get to the airport by like 6:30. So I need to leave so early. And it's JFK. So it's going to take me forever to get there.
Yeah. Well, not at that hour, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
You actually, that's actually like kind of a blessing in disguise. Like I flew into JFK last night at rush hour, which I was already dreading because then you get in the car, it's like an hour and a half drive to get back to your house. But JFK did the stupid thing recently. I think you talked about this or someone mentioned this. Where now if you call an Uber or like any sort
of
ride share,
you have to go to another terminal.
You have to take a shuttle. So picture this.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
You land after a stressful day. You have to get a shuttle, which doesn't come like often. It's like maybe every, I don't know, like you have to wait there for the shuttle to arrive. Mm-hmm. Then you get on the shuttle. It takes you like 20 minutes to drive to a parking lot that like honestly puts you further away from like your house. And then you get there and you have to call the Uber and the Uber gets lost. That's what happened to me. The Uber finally arrives and then it tells you, oh, you're an hour and a half from home. After all that.
That's why I
crazy
at least the air train to where the last stop is, if it's like Jamaica or something, and then get an Uber from there. And it cuts the price down because there's no surge pricing and you're only like 45 minutes away.
I should do that next time.
Yeah, so my travel hack has recently been kind of similar. Like I'm flying out of JFK, I'll take the ACE to a stop in Brooklyn and then I'll call the Uber from the Brooklyn side and it literally cuts the Uber price.
But then once you're already on the train,
then
you might as well just stay on it.
100%.
I should do that. I was just feeling like I was already overwhelmed when I landed and I'm like, I don't even want to have to deal with the bags. Plus, I acquired some hats. I came back when Jack and I left to go to Austin with two hats. We came back with four.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. So I was like, I just had so many things. I'm like, let me just find a car to sit my butt in and get home.
So you guys took a taxi.
I feel that.
Say it again.
You guys took a taxi.
We took a taxi. Well, we took an Uber.
But so you did take the shuttle to the Uber lot.
Yeah, we had to.
Okay.
Because before, you would have just, you know, walked out of the terminal.
You have to go to the parking garage still or whatever.
Yeah, but like it was like there.
Yeah.
You didn't have to get on a shuttle. But I think they're trying to, well, they just, I was listening because obviously the bus, you know, they were like, hello, welcome to the AirTran or welcome to the Uber lot shuttle bus. The reason why, sorry for the inconvenience. The reason why we are doing this is because we just got a $19 million grant to redo JFK and blah, 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 pretty much.
Yeah.
With the new like terminals that they're building and stuff, this will be better. Like where they're going to have, like they're building a new like station section for the Uber and Lyft pickups, which if you think about it for so long, like in history, there were never Uber and Lyft.
No.
So it was like only all you needed was a taxi stand.
Right.
Or people had other ways of like you'd hire someone to come pick you up, but it wouldn't be an Uber situation. So Ubers have honestly created such a mess at airports. Because, like, just the chaos, the congestion and such.
You know what they really
so
need
it makes
is,
sense.
Like, a bullet train from the city to JFK.
Yeah, I don't get how that hasn't...
They just need, like, a one-stop express. Like, somewhere in Manhattan that's central, like Penn Station or Grand Central, that just, like, bullets directly to JFK.
Absolutely, because I also can't imagine as a tourist coming here having to deal with all that crap.
And also touching down and then being hit with a $150 Uber to your hotel.
Whatever. Honestly, champagne problems because I get to at least go on flights and go to cool places. But like,
what was the highlight
of
the trip?
How was ACL?
ACL was incredible. I had a spiritual reawakening.
Whoa.
At Nora Jones.
You know it. Nora Jones.
I do know it.
Nora Jones is my favorite artist.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses.
So a lot of us know that shopping for dad, shopping for boyfriend, shopping for men is very tough. Last Christmas, I was kind of freshly dating Jack and didn't really know what to get him. So I went to Uncommon Goods and I got him an Arsenal book. That's his soccer team that he supports. And it's a collection of different news printings from the past 50 years of Arsenal's history. So it was really great gift. He loved it. I also got him a customized candle, and I got my dad a whiskey creating kit. Like, you can DIY your own whiskey. There's a ton of good stuff on there.
Uncommon Goods has the most meaningful out of the ordinary gifts on the market, and like Katie said, they even have gifts that you can personalize. Uncommon Goods will be at Grand Central Holiday Fair in Vanderbilt Hall and Grand Central Terminal in New York City, November 11th through December 24th. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/matchmade. That's uncommongoods.com/matchmade for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Happy holidays. Okay, guys, so you know that we love a good skincare and makeup routine, but did you know how you apply these products to your face can make all the difference?
Beneeza Beauty has been changing the game with their vegan and cruelty-free brushes since 2019. Their Pinnacle Foundation Brush is a fan favorite and has gone totally viral for a reason.
The Pinnacle Foundation Brush is seriously the key to flawless application. I could use the cheapest foundation, and this brush makes it look like I'm wearing a $200 formula. It's that good.
It's all in the design. The brush's triangular shape fits every corner of your face, so you can use it for foundation, contour, highlight, basically all your liquid and cream products.
And don't forget about their skincare brushes. The Pinnacle Skin Brush has completely changed how I apply my serums and moisturizers. No more using my hands. This brush ensures everything goes on smooth and evenly.
So check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush and more at AnisaBeauty.com.
Use code MATCHMADE for 30% off site-wide. That's AnisaBeauty.com.
Check it out.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Every year on my Spotify Wrapped, she's always number one. Nora is my girl. I love her. I've never actually seen her, like, IRL. Never really. I knew what she looked like from her album covers, but she's been singing for a very long time. So she's like a whole ass woman, you know? And like, she is just, I'm honestly speechless. I have nothing to say. I left that performance being like, I need to buy a ticket to like her next tour.
What does she sing? I don't even know what she sings.
I guess one that you would know. Sunrise, sunrise.
Never heard of it.
Okay. Don't know why I didn't come. Okay, there you go. So you do know.
Yeah, yeah.
So Nora was incredible. I also saw the Paper Kites, which I was dying to see. They were on the lineup and I was like, I have to go. If you've ever heard, you probably haven't. There's a song called Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning when I wake.
Oh, I know that song.
Yeah. Oh, you do know. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of people's like wedding song.
That was a good impression.
Thanks. They're incredible. But something I learned about them, so the like top three songs that I love from them are not the songs. They're, first of all, their oldest songs from like 12 years ago. They don't even really like sing stuff like that anymore. They're full on like a rock and roll band. But they have these three hits that are like people's wedding songs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, kind of slower. And they said,
indie, folky.
Yeah, during their set, they were like, we oftentimes have couples that are fully like coming to our shows expecting the whole vibe to be this like slow tempo acoustic. And it's just not. Because like, to be honest, I went to their set and I'm like, I think I have the wrong people. Like, I thought I knew the Paper Kites. This is not who I thought. I'm like, maybe there's multiple Paper Kites. I'm like, but that'd be such a silly business move. Why would you name your band something that like this other band is fully called? So I did some, I also had no service. So I was trying to like look up and I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, kind of like, Jack, wait, I think I have a mistaken identity situation here. Like, I really think I don't know this band. And then all of a sudden they started playing the songs that I did know. And they're like, guys, these are actually from 12 years ago. So this band fully, can you imagine being a band and like, this is your life. This is your like, your love, your art. And people only care about the songs you made 10 years ago. Can you imagine? Yeah.
I went to a concert similar last week at Pier 17, but it wasn't even that. It was just, I mean, I guess maybe I'm just not a fan of his entire discography. It was Brett Young.
Yeah.
And he sang like a couple of his hits, but he also sang 5 unreleased songs.
Okay.
Which was so annoying. And
because no one will know the words or anything. Right.
But he sang like 4 covers and those were the best songs of the night, which I was like, I wish this was just a cover concert.
Yeah. I mean, it must be frustrating as an artist to be like, I mean, but to be honest, like as a creator in my own right, like I feel like the videos that I really want to do well, like, or I want people to love, they don't love. People will latch on and a video will go viral on TikTok or whatever that I post that I like didn't give any thought to, that I don't consider my brand.
That's like the hard part about TikTok.
This one video of my dad sitting in a chair with a cat, one of my sister's cats, continues to go viral, to get traction. And I'm like, guys, this isn't even of me. Like, why? So I get it. That's just like showbiz, I guess. But it must be frustrating. Like I was feeling for these artists that fully got asked to do ACL because of songs that they wrote 12 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, that must be frustrating.
I think that's also why the Jonas Brothers started to kind of do their own Eras Tour type concerts.
Yeah.
Because I love their new album, but I don't know if that's what people are going to these concerts still to see.
Yeah.
Honestly, when they come back, I want to go again.
I'd
go
see them.
That concert is just so fun.
The Jonas Brothers?
Yeah.
I would totally see them.
So fun. There was a Dumas sighting of Joe Jonas with just like an unknown brunette in Paris.
Oh, I saw that.
And one of my really good friends sent the photo in our Instagram group and was like, Colby, I actually like could see this being you. And I was like, no, I never
see. Wait, that girl? I did not see, like, you thought she looked like you?
No.
Oh.
But just like the fact that he could be with another unknown brunette.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like you should DM him because I don't see that not being like,
yeah, in the potential reality. Even though he's 5'7".
Is he 5'7"?
He's so short.
Joe.
Yeah.
Is Nick shorter than him?
Correct.
How tall is Nick?
Probably like 5'6".
Holy shit. Wait, did it ever
remember that picture? I'm so much taller than him.
Wait, which one?
The one from about 2 years ago, I think.
Oh, I don't think I remember that one.
When I was in Miami.
Oh, I don't think I remember.
I remember that.
I ran into Nick Jonas outside of the bathroom. Well, I didn't actually. I saw him walking out and then my new friend at Soho Beach House, who was like a 45-year-old man, was like, she really wants to take a picture with you or something. And he took the photo. That's, it was so funny.
You should use that picture for our meme this week.
Oh my god.
Need to resurface that.
So scary.
I love that.
But So I'm manifesting Joe Jonas.
I love that for you.
Anyway.
Give us the update on how your day went, Colby. That you
went
to.
The date was good.
Yes. People have been on the edge of their seats.
I know. The date was good. I was saying this though, like first dates after app dates are so hard to read because it's like you essentially are meeting a stranger.
Yeah.
Basically. So it's like you talk about we talk about this all the time. But so I was like, it was a good date. Like I had fun, whatever. But like, I don't know what will come of it. But I
guess
that's
every
first date.
You were there for so long, which I feel like.
Yeah, we were there for like 3 hours.
Which like that has to be a sign of a good first date.
Yeah.
Like how many drinks did you guys have?
We got 2 drinks and we got like an appetizer.
Oh, appetizer. That's
fun. We got
fun.
An appetizer.
What was the appetizer?
We got potatoes, and they came with a chipotle mayo, so we addressed my fear of mayo.
Yeah,
so you found out your problems?
Yeah. He was like, we didn't have to get that. We could have gotten it on the side. And I was like, no, it's okay. I'm so used to this. I can just eat the ones that don't have it on it.
Oh, the chipotle mayo was on top of the
potatoes.
No,
it was like on one half. So I was like, that's totally fine.
Oh, so you were like, you get that half, I get this half.
Yeah, it was like, I'm just going to have two of these over here.
Okay, so what was his opinion on your aversion to sauces?
He found it fascinating, I feel like. He was like, why? Which is, I think, is the general consensus. And
was
I don't
like,
know
were
why.
You hurt like when you were a child by condiments? Like, what happened?
No, but I was like, actually, I already had the fear. But then I told him the story about how my sister convinced all of these kids on vacation to chase me around with ketchup packets, and then I hid in the pool by myself for like 20 minutes until they went away.
Wait, I feel like we've never talked about that story
before. It was in Florida.
Well, it's her trauma, so yeah. You have to bring up your trauma on your own.
Yeah. It was like in Florida. Everybody was visiting their grandparents. They were all kids from my town, and we were all in Naples visiting our grandparents respectively, and we were at this beach at one of the bigger hotels down there, and they have a pool that backs up to the beach. And so we were all making up a dance to, I think it was a Sweet Escape or Wind It Up by Gwen Stefani. Amazing. To show our parents. And then they ordered us lunch, obviously, and the food came, and my sister just recruited everybody to chase me with their ketchup because I was saying how I didn't like it.
That's a sister thing to do, though. Like, I would have, I would have done the same thing to my younger sister.
100%.
That's just like how it goes. It's like, oh, you're afraid of that? Let's just like find a way to torment you. Yeah.
I see. So at that point, you didn't like ketchup, but then a bunch of kids chased you around with ketchup packets, and then you were traumatized. So that's why now it's like,
you know, I kind of get the whole like aioli thing. Like, I've never really loved mayo.
Yeah, like I'm not a mayo boy myself.
Like, I like fancy mayo. I like garlic aioli. That's literally fancy mayo.
Yeah.
But ketchup, that's criminal. Ketchup is just so good.
Yellow and like, mustard freaks me out.
Oh my God, I love yellow mustard.
I don't like yellow mustard either.
But I was like, Lello mustard.
Again, ketchup is like so mild. Like, there's nothing really going on. It's not like a thick, like, you know.
Do you like tomato soup?
No.
You don't like bisque?
I'm not a bisquer. I don't like any. The only types of soup that I like, and I love soup, are like chicken broth based.
Do you love soup though? Do you?
I do.
If you're going to be a one track. I love
chicken soup.
One track mind.
Yeah.
Wait, so what's your aversion to tomato soup? Is it just like too relatable to like a sauce?
I have no idea. I like marinara sauce. It literally doesn't make sense. I just like look at it. I genuinely think a lot of it is the way food looks.
See, I get
if
that.
Food looks unappetizing, I don't like it.
Okay.
I get that to a certain extent because I feel like sometimes I make something that I know is going to be delicious, but I know it doesn't like photograph well.
Yeah.
Like, I've had this experience where like I've made something epic in my crock pot, and I like just know if I post this, I'm going to end up, the photo is going to end up on some snark Reddit page. People like saying,
being like, Katie Blatty
makes gross food. And I'm like, no, you have a bite and then you'll change your mind on that. Like, there's some food that I make / that I love that looks terrible, but it tastes so good.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. My mom used to make this thing called red chicken in our family. Yeah, I can't eat cottage cheese. The word curds is enough to make me never eat that.
You got to get like the whipped one.
Uh-uh. The word curd really doesn't do, like, it's not good PR for cottage cheese. Like, no. They got to take curd out of there because curd, I agree, is like not an appetizing word. You know, like it'll be like small curds or big curds.
Yeah, curd's rough. That's a rough one for sure.
Real rough.
Yeah. So, but if they omitted curd, I feel like they'd have better PR.
Yeah, I agree completely. Cheese. Yeah. Get rid of the curds and we're all good.
What was red chicken?
Oh, my mom used to make this thing. We called it red chicken in our family, but it was literally just because the sauce was like kind of red and it was my sister's favorite food. And I used to eat it. And then I saw her make it one time and I never ate it ever again.
How do you make red chicken?
It had apricot preserves on it. And I saw the can of apricot preserves.
You over the edge?
Yeah, I was like, I'm never eating that ever again. So I used to have to eat just like plain baked chicken and white rice because it, like, we would have white rice with it and like a vegetable and the sauce would go on the rice. But my duplicate meal, my dad used to get so mad because my mom would enable me eating this way, but I just like wouldn't eat it. I would go on a hunger strike, I think.
Huh.
Given the opportunity.
Interesting.
Well, how do we even get on this topic?
I don't know.
Oh, Colby's
because of the potatoes.
Wait, so did he end up being as tall as you wanted? Because I think you said on the podcast we were worried about him.
Yes, he was tall.
Okay.
And taller
than you, significantly? Yeah,
he was like at least 6'1".
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
which was a positive. But the date was good. It was a good first date, I would say.
Have you guys been chit-chatting?
We were talking a little bit over the weekend, but like I wasn't really doing anything because it was entertaining a young child,
right?
But he knew that anyway. And then we were talking a little bit Friday night because I was out in the neighborhood, but he wasn't doing anything. So it was kind of like means to an end. And then I was like, I'm just not going to be sitting here having a texting conversation while I'm out with my friends. So
yeah, it's good.
It's like, okay, bye.
Leave him wanting more. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. And then I matched with this other guy on Raya. Raya's being bountiful the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're having great luck with Raya recently.
Yeah. And he messaged me, but he's 27, and he wrote me something like, I just want to let you know, you being a cougar doesn't intimidate me or something.
Wait, I died at that message. It's so good.
I wanted to be like, oh, I honestly forgot that I got a year older and I need to up my age out of 27.
Oh, does it not update automatically?
No, like my she means age like, updates, but before I had it set like to my age and older, and now I didn't do it on there.
I see.
So I need to get the 27-year-olds out.
Would you
but
not?
He was cute.
You wouldn't date someone a year younger than you?
No, like I would.
Okay.
But it's not who I'm actively looking for. He played hockey at a college in Boston.
I really think my mom's 2 years older than my dad.
My sister's husband, I think, is like 4 years younger
yeah,
than her.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to the maturity level. It really does.
Yeah.
Maturity level and, like, honestly, your personal preference.
And also, sometimes I feel like the younger guys are looking for things more serious than the older guys. I feel like some guys hit an age and they're just like, okay, might as well just continue fucking around until I can't anymore.
I like the grown babies.
Yeah. They have Peter Pan syndrome, which is like my nightmare.
I feel like that happens when a guy hits 30 years old in New York City.
Yeah.
Like he all of a sudden develops Peter Pan syndrome.
And they're just like, okay, might as well just keep this up while I can. And then
honestly,
all of a sudden they're...
I don't know how they would do... I don't... My anxiety spikes even just thinking about being a Peter Pan. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, okay, so 27-year-old, he's hot.
Yes. Hockey.
Are you going to continue to speak to him even though he's younger than you?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Did you explain a date? Did he ask you how yet?
No, we were... I just replied to his message.
You guys are just
earlier.
Having some banter?
How exciting. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, except one red flag is he did put on here that he's traveling somewhere, but...
Oh.
I hate when that happens, or when people do that.
What does that mean? Like, he's traveling...
Like, they note on there that they're, like, going... to be somewhere
oh my God,
for a
I need
set
to
amount
say
of
I'm
days.
I'm going to London.
he has on here that he's traveling somewhere for 2 days. Which is like, what's the point of that?
So that's like fully so he can meet girls in that 2 day span.
Yep, like potentially.
Or be like, hey, I'm
I mean,
here
I guess
for 2 days.
I'm saying this, and then I did that just to like see what the clientele was like when I was traveling abroad.
Yeah, it could be just for research purposes, yeah. But it is important to note these things.
Yeah.
Interesting. See, I was on Raya. I never went on a single Raya date.
Yeah, because it's like...
I don't know why. I was just like, it was a lot of pen palling on there for me.
It is often.
And I'd matched with some very interesting people that just fully didn't live anywhere near me.
Right.
And that was a downer. Like, I know it works for people and it's like exclusive, but
yeah.
I went on way more Hinge and Bumble dates.
Okay, I just added that I'm traveling to London.
Okay. Oh my God. So wait, so riddle me that. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean people in London are... Oh, okay. So
I think then you start to show up more on those people's algorithms because I started to get more intentional with who I'm actually liking on Raya specifically because it's like not geofenced.
Okay.
So I've been... strategically mainly liking people that live in New York.
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of interesting though.
So then
you can scroll down
more.
Your list and you can see like who's traveling.
So it'll give you more people. Like you're trying to like trick the algorithm. Or not trick, just like show you the algorithm what you want.
Well, I think based on where you are, Raya will feed you majority people who live like where you are. So like majority of people I get are in New York, but like of course and there's like the Dubais and the Londons and like
and thank God for that. Free
whatever.
Dinner.
Seriously. But then like I think if I put that I'm traveling to London through these dates and when I go on the app, it's going to be like suggesting
more
me
people.
More London people, basically.
Okay. Wait, I love that.
And then also signaling to my existing matches that now I'm gonna
be
in London.
Well, the other thing that happens, so I think I had put that I was traveling when I was going to Copenhagen just to like see what the deal was, but then I obviously like wasn't even going on dates there. I just like wanted to see what the people looked like. And then when I went to London, because the other thing that happens is if you open the app when you're not in the city, it says visiting wherever from wherever you're based.
Even if you didn't.
Which I think you visiting is like obviously less intentional than setting that you're traveling
somewhere. When it says you're visiting, it's truly just because you opened the app and it picked up that you were somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's not like you physically setting like, I am visiting Copenhagen. Okay.
Right.
So that's like, okay, so that makes more sense. If you see that, it's like, oh, this guy literally just opened the app. But if it's
like planning in advance, sometimes I'm like, what the hell? Like, that's a freak move.
He went on Raya and fully said, I am going to Florida for 2 days.
2 days.
Like, that's a little bit strange. Like, if he just like.
But it might literally just be for research.
He's just trying to see.
Maybe he's new to the app and thinks like it could be fun.
That's kind of like funny. Like, oh, he's like.
Gotta enjoy all the features.
It's almost like he's entering like his vacation days, like for work. Like he's like,
check out all the new features.
2 days on this, like he's like has like his vacation days set for like the next year via Raya.
It's so funny.
That's funny.
I'm pretty sure you also get capped. Like I'm pretty sure you can only set that you're traveling like once every once in a while,
Really?
Or you have to pay for it. I think. I know from experience because
Adam's like,
you're like, I think
I don't think this happens. I know.
You're like, I think
I tried to said that I was traveling and it was like, you need to pay for that. And I said, no,
I knew they'd have some sort of like,
except
extra.
It did just let me do it for London though. So I think there's like some time situation.
Okay. Well, that's good. Adam, I feel like you're going to meet some people at heaven.
I know. I think you're going to have an incredible time.
Like, I think so, too.
What was that thing? Like, seven minutes in heaven?
Yes.
You could have 7 minutes in heaven.
I'm going to be, like, 3 hours in heaven, though.
Well, no, but I'm talking about, like, a makeout. 7 minutes in heaven was, like, you go in the closet.
I can make out for 3 hours.
You go in the closet and make out with someone, so you're, but you're out of the closet.
I'm out of the closet. Like,
13 going on 30.
Yeah.
Everyone knows I'm gay, so I think, you know, we'll have 3 hours in heaven.
How exciting.
I'll come back with some stories.
Wow, no, I can't wait to hear about the London stories.
Can't wait to hear about Colby's 27-year-old.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, what else do we have in the pipeline? I guess, yeah, I'm
hoping. Your birthday.
I'm hoping by next week's episode I won't be as sniffly.
You actually sound like okay.
I've gotten better. No, you guys, last night I was actually, you know how dramatic I get when I'm sick.
Oh, yeah.
But Jack and I both have the same ailment because, and I think this is my hypothesis. So at ACL, at the music festival, Texas is a really dusty ass place. Like, and I'm not saying like dusty, musty, crusty. I mean like actual like dust, like dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The desert.
It was dirt. There was wind. I think I ingested probably 3 pounds of dirt.
Yeah, it's like Coachella.
And I people were telling me to wear a mask or like wear like a bandana. And I was like, oh, that's cute. No, like photos, I'm going to look bad in the photos. Like, you know, it's just personal preference. My outfit, it didn't go with my outfit. Okay.
Fair.
In hindsight, I so should have worn one because I really think that's what's contributing to my like issue at the moment. Because Jack and I both, usually when I'm sick, like I don't think he's always exactly this. We don't match. We don't like, I feel like whenever I'm sick, like it hasn't been like he's been sick at the same time. It's like we kind of take turns.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Both of us had the exact same symptoms. Just like.
Well, that's kind of nice that you're getting it out in one swoop rather than it being back to back.
Yeah. Like him then getting it and then giving it back to me, like that sort of thing. But no, last night, like I was trying to watch Love is Blind DC, like on my actual deathbed. And I like couldn't even like keep. Everything was like a hard thing to do. Like
every,
I was gorgeous this morning. Harmonizing. I'm,
like, we really dropped some notes.
Wow. It's just the residual like. Sinus thing.
Yeah.
But speaking of Love is Blind, everyone should watch it.
Oh, really?
DC, it's on Netflix now. I'm on episode like 4. I will say that the cast, the guys like kind of annoy me, but it makes for good TV.
I've only watched the first episode and I texted Katie this because we were both watching it at the same time. But there's this one guy and he loves to talk about how he grew up with a lot of money and how he's really nervous that a girl is just going to take advantage of him or want to be with him because of his money. But in every single conversation that he has, he's like, I grew up really well off and I had all this stuff happen to me, but then I got inheritance from da da da, and like talking about different avenues from where he got all this money. And I was like, I legitimately would get up and walk out of that room and let him continue ramble on about how he has all this money.
And as you go in the episodes, like no spoilers, he continues to bring it up. Like I at first was thinking, oh, he's probably, poor guy, is getting a bad edit by the show. Like, because it was one of those where like they showed kind of a compilation, montage, yeah, of like all the times he's mentioned the fact that he's has money. He's an art dealer. He like knows he has a Rolex. He like takes the Rolex off, lets everyone try it on. Like,
oh, it's just, that's
like,
so weird.
Poor taste.
It's
okay,
so tacky.
Tacky. And I was like, oh, he's just getting a bad edit though. Like, they're probably just taking every moment. But no, he continues to bring it up, and like every confessional, he's always like, you know, I'm like just pretty well. He always says this thing. He's like, I'm extremely blessed to be financially well off. I'm like, I think he's trying to be like humble by saying, I'm blessed to be You tacking on, I'm blessed to be, but saying it 15 times nullifies the fact that you just said you're blessed. Like, no, no, no. You are just loving to bring up the fact that you're wealthy.
This is also something that does not need to be discussed at all. Especially if that's something that you don't want somebody to latch onto, and especially in this type of situation.
It's like
where they don't know what you look like. They know nothing about you except for you telling them how much money you have now.
Yeah.
So
they always find some characters with the show, I feel like.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not giving any spoilers with this, but like, I have such a bone to pick with the people that fully go on a Love is Blind experimental show, but then proceed to, in the pods, discuss what they look like. Like, this one girl, Hannah, her and people that she's spoken to have discussed appearance, and that's the whole thing you're not supposed to do. Like, the whole thing is you're supposed to fall in love with someone sight unseen. But she's fully had conversations about, like, how tall, like, what, like, she'll like give little like breadcrumbs.
Is she the blonde one?
Yeah. To like, well, there's a few blonde ones, but I guess a couple. There's like two major blonde ones.
Is she the one that was like, you're expecting me to look like a Victoria's Secret model and be hot or whatever?
Something like that. Like, the way that she, and hey, props to her for having a positive self like image. Like, she likes to talk about how she thinks she's great and whatnot, like, good for her, confidence. But there's just certain things you shouldn't be discussing. And I guess she had asked people about, like, how tall they are. And it all, you know, stems from insecurity. Like, sure, like, you know, we have preferences with height. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
But if you go on Love is Blind, you cannot have a preference of height. You can't come out, like, you know, walk out and be like, oh, he's a short king, I'm pissed. Like, that's the whole antithesis of the show.
But also sometimes it works against you, right? Like, there was that one season where that girl said that she looked like Megan Fox.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then that guy thought she looked like Megan Fox. And then he was like, you said you looked like Megan Fox and you don't look anything like Megan Fox.
Yeah. I haven't kept up with any of them after, and I do kind of want to do a check-in now.
I haven't either, but they all get so famous.
Yeah.
Like, they all have like a million followers and have crazy engagement.
Was spectacular. I hadn't watched like the filler seasons between last season and I feel like the first season during COVID. Everybody was obsessed with
it. Yeah, I watched that one like religiously. The one that I just watched, the British UK one, was so good.
Yeah, I've heard incredible things about that. I still need to watch that.
Honestly, it's better than the current one I'm watching, the DC one.
Maybe I'll watch that today. I've been trying to watch Tell Me Lies because everybody says it's so good. Did you guys watch that?
Yeah, it's incredible.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, this
oh my
I've
God,
seen the first
it's
season.
So good. I need to watch the episode from Wednesday. I heard it's crazy.
See, I'm having trouble getting into the first season though. Like, does it get better?
It's so good. I don't
like,
think
what do people like
in
the most about it? Is it like
it's
sex
so toxic?
Or, like, oh, okay.
And like just great.
Okay. I'll keep it up. I'll keep trying my best.
Yeah. I love it. This season is really good.
Okay. I'll keep it up. Katie, I think we have time for one advice segment, if we have one.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just looking at which couples are still together. It looks like a lot of the couples are still together that were... Yeah. I could go down a rabbit hole about this. Anyway. Oh, but there was a guy on Love is Blind, last thing I'll say about this, the DC, that went to our high school.
Really?
Did you know this?
Severn Park?
Yes. There's a kid that went to our high school that was on Love is Blind this current season, but... he hasn't gotten any airtime.
Oh, no.
He was shown in the first episode.
Do we know
like,
him? Like, is he much older than us?
I'll
or?
tell you his name after this.
Oh, okay.
I don't
want
to, like, air him out. But poor guy, he didn't get any airtime. But you know how, like, on Love is Blind, how they, a lot of people fully find love and get married but aren't shown for some reason? Because either their story isn't dramatic enough or whatever. Like, he fully could have walked out of there with a wife, and we just don't know. But it's just so funny because I saw him on my screen. I'm like, wait a damn minute. I know that guy.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Then on his Instagram, he has like the Love is Blind like.
Oh wait, so you actually know him?
Photo. Well, I know who he is, yes.
Okay, I can't wait to hear
I wouldn't say
is.
We're like buddies, but we like definitely used to Facebook message.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to see.
Anyway, all right, time for a question.
Cue.
Let's do it. Okay. Hi, Katie, Colby, and Adam. First off, I love listening to the pod and living my 20s in New York City vicariously through you. I, 26, have been on 4 dates over the past 2 months with a guy I met on the apps. He's 28. I really like him, and there are so many green flags. We have the same sense of humor. He's very considerate, great listener. Our hobbies and music tastes align. However, the only thing is that I've been the one to officially initiate all of our dates. He can sometimes take time to respond to texts as well, but when he does, he's always asking a question and seems interested, and he always quickly says yes to the dates that I propose. Also, for context, he spent the night at mine once, and I've spent the night at his once after a concert in his neighborhood, which I invited him to, LOL. How much should I read into the fact that he isn't initiating dates if there are so many other good signs, and how do I bring it up to him, if at all? Number one, like, just some details. A month... this person, like, is so organized. A month passed between our first and second date because we were on different trips. Then his brother was visiting for 2 weeks. We're both very busy. Another note, I say officially initiating the dates because for the first date, he kind of hinted at getting drinks and I had to be the one to be like, okay, when, basically. Then the same thing happened with the second date. It was an outdoor cinema he went to with his brother when he was visiting, and there was some flirty back and forth texting about us going to one, but I had to be the one to say, okay, when, again. So... also, as I'm writing this, I realize I'm usually the one being chased, not the chaser, so maybe I'm just not used to this. One key detail, I also noticed sometime after our first date, or maybe after our second, I can't be sure, that he deleted his Bumble profile. Either he's trying to focus on me, green flag, he's trying to hide me from someone, very red flag, or he's just too busy to date anyone else. Sorry for all the rambling, hopefully that wasn't too long. Really curious to hear what you guys think.
Wait, did she say when the last time she saw him was?
She said, I've been on four dates over the past 2 months with a guy I met on the apps.
Okay.
So...
but she said between date one and day two, it was like a month, right?
Yeah, because they were both on trips. So I think it's been, based on that, it's probably, she's probably seen him recently.
Yeah, It sounds like then the other three must have been within the month.
They also,
which I guess like once a week.
She also did note, we didn't actually hook up, just hung out and cuddled, which makes me think he wants something more than a casual hookup. So
I think she should just match his energy and like not try to plan something and just see what he does with that.
Let him make the effort.
Yeah. If it's something that's bothering you, I think you will always wonder, like, was he actually wanting to go on these dates with me, or is it just because I pushed him? Like, it sounds like he's the one proposing the plan, but he isn't going the extra mile to be like, let's go on Tuesday, you know?
Wait, it seems like she's proposing the plan also. Did I read
that? I think both.
He was saying like flirty banter of like, oh, I went here, we should go, whatever. Oh. Honestly, yeah. I was having this conversation recently with somebody just recapping dates and app dates specifically, that it's like first dates. Sometimes these guys are like, oh my God, I did this. Like, we should do this. And then you never go on a second date.
Yeah.
So then... when you have dates where that doesn't happen, then you're like, oh, was that bad? Because we weren't like future planning, or like that's probably good and normal. And
right.
Like, what is that phrase? Not staying on track, but like you second guess things because you're used to maybe guys saying stuff like that. But when they don't, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not interested. It's just like that honestly might be healthier and more normal.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like what Adam said, like in terms of what she should do about this, is like she should just don't take the reins and be like, when should we do it? Or like, let's go on Tuesday or like whatever, and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think him deleting his Bumble profile like really means anything.
I agree.
I also,
do you know that he
didn't match you? Like, which, you know,
has happened to me.
Exactly. And me as well.
Many times.
It happens quite a lot.
While I was seeing the surgeon.
Literal cowards. Literal cowards unmatching you. But that could be something. Also, 4 dates in 2 months, that could still mean, like, he could still be seeing other people.
Yeah, I agree. That's also why I don't think she should bring it up to him. I think she should just, like, match his energy and not try to plan anything, and then just see what he does.
Yeah, let him plan it.
And then if he doesn't make an effort, that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. Go on a date with someone else if the opportunity arises.
If it's feeling more like an unpaid internship than like an actual enjoyable experience, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Like if you feel like you're constantly scheduling, like I feel like it should be a joint effort to do that. Yeah. Just matches energy. That's what we always say.
Exactly.
I think. But best of luck with this.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well,
all right. That's all we have time for, girls.
There we have it. I got to blow my nose.
So. I have to actually pee my pants.
And with that, love ya. See ya.
Bye.